Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we thank you again for bringing us together on this, your holy Sabbath day. We give glory and praise to you, and Father, to hear your word. We ask, Father, that your word would truly touch our hearts and cause us to yield and to be humbled before you as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Father, use us as you will. You know what purpose you have for each and every one of us. You know what you would like us to accomplish. We can only be the glory that represents you, Father, as we seek to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and dwell in that glory that has been shown to the world. Father, we know that the world does not know you, and our job is to show you to the world through our lives, Father, and the lives that you would have us live to your honor and glory. Help us, Father, to be honorable vessels for your purpose as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. We love you and thank you for all you've done for your servants. We ask, Father, that you would continue to watch over us and bless us. We thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And it's in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. We're going to start this message in Romans chapter 9. So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, I say the truth in the Messiah. I do not lie. My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing pain in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were anathema from the Messiah for my brethren's sake, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, whose is the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service to Elohim and the promises, who are the fathers, of whom is the Messiah, as concerning the flesh, who is over all, Yahweh blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of Yahweh has come to nothing, for they that are not all Israel that are of Israel, either because they are Abraham's seed, are they all children. But in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, it is not the children of the flesh that are the children of Yahweh, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed. Many people come before Yahweh, or they'll come and say that I am of the Master because of my heritage. I was born of so-and-so tribe, and I'm an Israelite based by birth. Okay? A lot of people are claiming to be a part of Yahweh's people based on their heritage, by their birth. And what Paul is showing here, it's not those that are born of the flesh that are children of the promise, but it's those that are children of the promise are reckoned for a seed because they have accepted the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah. That's what makes the difference. You know, yes, the Messiah came of the tribe of Yehuda. He was one of David's descendants. In verse 9 it says, for this is a word of promise according to the season. According to this season will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of Yahweh according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. And Yahweh has put out a call, brethren. He's put out a call in these last days looking for special people, a certain type of people. Verse 12, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yahweh? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, nor him that runs, but of Yahweh that has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose did I raise you up, that I might show you in your power, and that my name might be published abroad in all the earth. So Pharaoh was raised up for a specific purpose, to promote Yahweh's name throughout all the earth. So then he that has mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he hardened. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart because Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. Verse 19, then you will say to me, why does he still find fault? For who withstands his will? But know, O man, who are you that replies against Elohim? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me like this? Or does the potter not have the right over the clay to make from the same lump one part a vessel to honor and another to dishonor? What if Elohim willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience, vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he previously prepared for glory. Even us, whom he also called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call that my people, which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said, you are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living Elohim. And Isaiah cries concerning Israel, if the number of the children of Israel should be as the sand of the sea, it is a remnant that will be saved. For Yahweh will execute his word upon the earth, finishing it and cutting it short. And as Isaiah has said before, except Yahweh Sibaoth had left us a seed, we should have become as Sodom and should have been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not follow righteousness attained to righteousness? Even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, following after law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works. They stumbled at the stone of stumbling, even as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. We know in John chapter 5, it says, he came into his own, yet they received him not. Yahweh sent Yahshua to his people, but they did not accept Yahshua the Messiah. Yet the Gentiles have embraced Yahshua the Messiah. Yahweh says here in Romans chapter 9, in verse 22b, it says, with much patience, vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy. Which are we going to be considered, vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy? That's the title of this message. Vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. Yahweh is the potter. He can make each one of us any way that he pleases. Any way that he pleases. Think about it. He's formed us for his purpose, yet we go out. A lot of us will get nose jobs. A lot of us will get all kinds of physical enhancements by the doctors with the knives. You know, they're trying to change what Yahweh has made. They're trying to perfect themselves in their own eyes. And we know what that means. See? There's nothing wrong to get in the gym and build up some muscles and to, you know, try to get yourself as fit as possible. But too often we're trying to change what Yahweh has made physically when we need to be changing the inside spiritually. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, he was making a work on the wheels. And when the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? And this is what Yahweh is trying to get us to understand. He is in control. He can do whatever he wants with us. Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to break down and to destroy it. If that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. Now, Yahweh wanted the Assyrian people to be used as the rod of his anger. He wanted to correct Israel, and he sent Jonah to Assyria, to Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go because he knew the result. He knew the end result. See? He went. Even after he went through some trials and tribulations of his own, he went. And they repented. And he was able to use the Assyrian nation to take Israel into captivity because they would not repent. Now, here we are. We're vessels of wrath. Vessels of mercy. Depends on which way we go, which way we choose. But Yahweh is the one that's in control. He's the one that's going to use you for his honor and his glory. You choose which way you go, whether it's destruction, whether it's wrath, or whether it's mercy. Because he's going to use you one way or the other. I'm telling you, you got a choice which way you go. But he's going to use you one way or the other. You're going to be used. Might as well be for Yahweh's honor and glory. Continuing on in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 8, it says, if that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, which the Assyrians did, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. And Israel had the same opportunity, so did Judah. But neither one repented. And they ended up in captivity. Israel not returning, at least not until this day. And Judah went for 70 years because they kept not the Sabbath. They kept not the sabbatical, the Sabbaths of Yahweh. Verse 9, it says, and what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if they do that which is evil in my sight, if they obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good with which I said I would benefit them. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, in this manner, says Yahweh, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return every one from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. But they say, it is in vain but we will walk after our own devices, and we will do everyone after the stubbornness of his evil heart. Yes. That's what Israel did. They went after their own way. They thought they knew better than Yahweh. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, ask now among the nations, who has heard such a thing? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Shall the snow of Lebanon fail from the rock of the field? Shall the cold waters that flow down from afar be dried up? For my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to false Elohim, and they have been made to stumble in their ways, in the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, in a way not cast up, to make land an astonishment and a perpetual hissing. Every one that passes by shall be astonished and shake his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then they said, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priests, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us strike him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. And you know what? They did not give heed to Jeremiah's words. They went down to Egypt. They were told to just accept the captivity and go into Babylon. But they did not. They fought it. Isaiah chapter 29. Verse 15. Woe to them that hide deep their counsels from Yahweh, whose works are in the dark, and that say, who sees us and who knows us? You turn things upside down. Shall the prophet be esteemed as clay, that the thing made should say of him that made it, he has made me not? Or the thing formed say to him that formed it, he has no understanding? And that seems to be the way that Israel has gone. And that seems to be the way of most people. They don't give Yahweh the glory. They think like they've created themselves. They don't go back to the source of their blessing. They seem to want to be in darkness. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 17 to 21. Remember, this is about being a vessel fitted for wrath or destruction, or a vessel of mercy. John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, for Yahweh sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged. He that believes not has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. No, they're touting this other name, Jesus. Jesus. We know who Zeus is. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be made manifest, and that they have been worked in Yahweh. And truly, the vessels of mercy have been worked in Yahweh, because they're looking to do Yahweh's will. He that does the truth comes to the light. The people who are hiding in darkness, they don't want to be seen. But Yahweh knows all. He sees all. And they are vessels fitted for wrath, vessels fitted for destruction. It is not too late for people to repent, to change. You know, when you think, okay, I know more than, I know the kids think this, they know more than their parents, but it's not too late to humble yourself. It's not too late at this point in your life to gain the knowledge that you need to go on to salvation. Isaiah chapter 45, and we're going to start with verse 9. Isaiah 45:9. The rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which the Bible teaches. But it says in verse 9, woe to him that quarrels with his maker, a potsherd among the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who fashions it, what are you making? Or your work? He has no hands. Woe to him that says to a father, what do you procreate? Or to a woman, what are you laboring over? And that happens too often. The kids come out. They just pop out. And they are 2 years old, 3 years old, or I mean even younger, and they're talking back to their parents, telling them things like they know what's going on. You know? Think about our society. The kids today, they have very little respect for their elders. They have very little respect for the Creator, Almighty Yahweh, because they see themselves large in their own eyes. Verse 11, in this manner says Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free. Not for price nor reward, says Yahweh. In this manner, says Yahweh, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They shall go after you in chains. They shall come over. They shall fall down to you. They shall make supplication to you, saying, surely, El is with you. El is in you. And there is no one else. There is no Elohim. Truly you are an El who hides himself, O Elohim of Israel, the Savior. They shall be put to shame, yes, confounded, all of them. They shall go into confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame nor confounded, world without end. For in this manner, says Yahweh, who created the heavens, the Elohim who formed the earth and made it, who establishes it and created it not waste, who formed it to be inhabited, I am Yahweh, excuse me, and there is no one else. I have not spoken in secret in a place of the land of darkness. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, Yahweh, speak righteousness, I declare things that are right. And truly Yahweh has done that. He has revealed to us, his servants, what his word says, what his purpose is, what he wants us to do. He's laid it all out. He's given us a job to do. Too many people have fallen to the wayside. They don't want to do that job. They don't want. See, Satan has got involved because he feels that if he can cut off the people from fulfilling the Great Commission, then things will stop. It won't happen. Yahshua won't return. But Yahweh says even if the people fail to do the job, he'll raise up stones to get it done. But he has a people, vessels of mercy, who are willing to go out and do the job because they have received mercy, and they want to see other people receive that same mercy. Those who are fitted for wrath, vessels for destruction, are concerned because Satan has already pulled them. He's already caused them to get off the path. But they can still return. They can still be saved. All they have to do is repent. See? And remove themselves from the equation as being more important. They are not more important than Yahweh. It says in verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you that have escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that carry the wood of their carved image and pray to an El that cannot save. Declare you and bring it forth. Yes, let them take counsel together who has showed this from ancient times. Who has declared it of old? Have not I, Yahweh? And there is no Elohim else besides me. A just El and a Savior. There is no one besides me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am El and there is no one else. I myself have I sworn. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Only in Yahweh, it is said of me, is righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all they that were incensed against him shall be put to shame. In Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Isaiah chapter 64. And Ephesians 4, 3:14 is another passage where it talks about every knee shall bow. And it's talking about the same complementary to this passage. So jot that in your notes, Ephesians 3:14. But we're going to Isaiah 64 right now, starting in verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did terrible things, which was not looked not for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence, which we know happened during the day of Pentecost, that first Pentecost. For from of old, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen an Elohim besides you, who work for him that waits for him. You meet him that rejoices. You meet him that rejoices and works righteousness, those that remember you and your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned, and in them have we been a long time. Of a long time. And shall we be saved? For we have all become as one that is unclean. And all our righteousness is as polluted garments, filthy rags, and we all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. And there is no one that calls upon your name, that stirs up himself and takes hold on you, of you. For you have hid your face from us and have consumed us by the means of our iniquities. Our sins are what cause us to be cast away. In Romans chapter 6:23, it says, and I'll quote that real quick, but keep your finger there. Romans 6:23, familiar passage to all of us. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. See, there's no one that calls upon your name, but we do. We do. We're back in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Yahweh, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you the potter. And we all are the work of your hand. Be not angry very much, O Yahweh, neither remember our iniquity, our sins forever. Behold, look, we plead you. We are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise you, is burnt with fire, and all our pleasant places are laid waste. Will you refrain yourself for these things, O Yahweh? Will you hold your peace and afflict us beyond measure? The answer is no. Yahweh is not going to afflict us beyond measure because we have to be faithful servants of the Most High. Almighty Yahweh is looking for vessels of mercy, people who care about others, people who have love one for another. See, it's easy to say that you're serving the Almighty, but to actually do it, and what does Yahshua say? What's going to make the difference? What's going to make the difference is when he returns, is he going to see love one for another? And one of the things you have to understand that most people, when they put themselves as a vessel of wrath, when they go off the path, they forget that they've left other brethren out there. And I'm speaking of the leaders. I'm speaking of the teachers, okay? Because they received a greater condemnation. When Yahweh raises up someone to preach his word, to teach his word, he's given special ability. He's given more of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And you have that choice. Like I said, you only have two ways to go. Are you going to be a vessel of mercy or a vessel of wrath? If you choose to turn your back on Yahweh, the potter, if you choose to say, well, you know what? I did this all my own. I'm on my own. I'm doing this thing for myself. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. This is one of the messages to one of the seven assemblies. It says, and to the angel of the assembly of Thyatira write, these things the Son of Yahweh, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished brass. I know your works, and your love, and your faith, and your ministry, and patience, and that your last works are more than the first. But I have this against you, that you allow the woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she does not want to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their works, and I will kill all her children with death, and all the assembly shall know that I am he that searches the reins of the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. But I say to you, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, you know not the deep things of Satan, as they are accustomed to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast until I come. And he that overcomes, and he that keeps my works to the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as I also have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. We don't have a lot of time, brethren. We don't have a lot of time. So we have to get on track. We have to know which direction we're going in. Are we going to be vessels of wrath, or are we going to be vessels of mercy? Because when you show mercy to others, that mercy comes back to you. But if you are treating people in a very negative manner, if you're lying to people, if you're sending them in the direction of destruction, which Satan is doing, and he's using people to do this, you're going to have a short time before your destruction comes upon you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. It says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of Yahweh that they quarrel not about words, to no profit, to the subverting of them that hear. Give diligence to present yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman that needs not be ashamed, handling properly the word of truth. But shun profane babbling, for they will proceed further in lawlessness. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you to get involved in lawlessness. He wants you to sin against the Almighty Yahweh. And their word will eat as gangrene does, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. However, the firm foundation of Yahweh stands, having this seal, Yahweh knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Yahweh depart from unrighteousness. That sets you apart for that holy purpose. When you depart from unrighteousness, to see what happens. What happens with Satan's leadership is that they're trying to draw people away to themselves. They want people to follow them. And this is what Paul was showing in the beginning in Romans chapter 9. What Paul was trying to show is that just because you're of the Jewish people doesn't mean that you are of Yahweh. See? And there are many people who say, well, just because I use Yahweh's name, I'm of Yahweh. But it's not true. It's what your works are. See, your fruit. That's very plain to see. If you are for Yahweh, if you are a vessel of mercy or a vessel of wrath. It says in verse 20. No, let's go back. Verse 19, it says, however, the firm foundation of Yahweh stands, having this seal, Yahweh knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Yahweh depart from unrighteousness. Because if you're using Yahweh's name, you should not be sinning. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel to honor. And that's what we want to be, brethren. We want to be vessels of honor. And some to dishonor. He shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified, which means set apart for a holy purpose, good for the master's use. And I'm telling you, Yahweh is going to use you, whether it's going to be for a vessel of wrath or for a vessel of mercy. You're going to make that choice. Prepared to every good work, but flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on Yahweh out of a pure heart. But foolish and ignorant questionings refuse, knowing that they gender strife. And Yahweh's servant must not strive, but be gentle toward all, able to teach, forbearing, and meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves. And that's what happens with most sinners. They are opposing themselves, and they don't even know it. They're vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction, and they don't even know it. See, you're either a vessel of mercy or a vessel of wrath. You have to make that decision. And what makes the decision for you is how you respond to the law of Yahweh, how you respond to his commandment. If you continue in sin, then you are a vessel fitted for destruction, a vessel of wrath. But it says in verse 25, in meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves, if perhaps Yahweh may give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to his will. And that's what happens. Most of these people are blind. They don't realize it. But what we want is Yahweh to shine his light upon them, that they would have the blinders taken off, that they would be able to see clearly the law of Yahweh. They would be able to see clearly what Yahweh would have them do with their lives. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14-22. This is a very, very familiar passage to most of us. It says, therefore, hear the word of Yahweh, you scoffers, that rule this people that is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol are we in agreement? Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus says the sovereign Yahweh, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He that believes shall not be in haste. And I will make justice the lion and righteousness the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. That cornerstone is Yahshua the Messiah. If we've accepted Yahshua's shed blood, then we're going to be placed as a block on that cornerstone. We're going to be built into that temple that is soon coming. In verse 18, it says, and your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. As often as it passes through, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass through, by day and not by night, and it shall be nothing but terror to understand the message. For the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than he can wrap himself in it. For Yahweh will rise up as in Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be not scoffers, lest your bonds be made strong, for a decree of destruction have I heard from the sovereign Yahweh of hosts upon the whole earth. The earth is going to be destroyed, brethren. It's going to be destroyed. That's the fact. Okay? The question is, are you going to be destroyed with it? See? You're either going to be a vessel of wrath, fitted for destruction, or you're going to be a vessel of mercy. And those vessels of mercy are going to be preserved. See? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start in verse 7. Says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of Yahweh and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not to despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body of the dying of Yahshua, that the life also of Yahshua may be manifested in our body. Now, is the life of Yahweh or Yahshua manifested in the body of those that are out there trying to have breast enlargements? What's the purpose of it? So that they can look more pleasing to men? For men that are out there having plastic surgery, people having their lips pumped up. I mean, you know, there's so many people out here that are having so many surgeries that they are truly fake. You know, there's very little left of them, you might say. But you think about it. Is Yahweh pleased with these people? See, it's about the inner person. It's the person of the heart that Yahweh is trying to reach. Too many people out here are trying to please each other. They're going out here getting plastic surgery to impress someone else. But this is about that inner person. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of Yahshua, that the life also of Yahshua may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Yahshua's sake. That the life of Yahshua may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe. And therefore I spoke, we also believe. And we therefore also speak, knowing that he that raises up the sovereign Yahshua shall raise us up also with Yahshua, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of Yahweh. We were created for his glory, not for our own. Therefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And what I'm doing here, this is our closing scripture, but I want you to go back to the beginning of 2 Corinthians 4. And we'll read verses 1 to 6 to end this message. I started in the middle, but I want to go back to the beginning because I want people to understand that we have two choices. We're either going to be a vessel of wrath or we're going to be a vessel of mercy. If you love Yahweh, you're doing his will, you're going to be a vessel of mercy. But if you're following Satan the devil, you're going to be a vessel of wrath and fitted for destruction. It says in verse 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, even as we have obtained mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor hailing the word of Yahweh deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. And even if our message of good tidings is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the mighty one of this world, Satan the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good tidings of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should not dawn upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but the Messiah, Yahshua, is sovereign, and ourselves as your servants for Yahshua's sake, seeing it is Elohim that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahshua the Messiah. Brethren, are you a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy? Almighty Yahweh is using each of us, some for wrath and some for mercy. I pray each of us will be used for mercy. Almighty Yahweh, bless you. At this time, I'd like you to rise. We'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, again, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We come before you, Father, seeking a blessing. We ask, Father, that you would use us for your honor and glory, and that we would not be used for destruction and for for evil. We know, Father, that you want us to be used for mercy, so that we would be able to help people come to the knowledge of your kingdom, come to the knowledge of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, to give glory to your holy name. Father, we thank you for calling us out of the sinful world. Help us to walk in your truth, Father. We ask that you would continually bless us. Raise us up. You are the potter, and we are the clay, Father. Use us as you will. Truly, Father, we know that our time is short, and we ask that you would strengthen us and grant us with more of your Holy Spirit, that we might be able to help call a people to you in these last days. Forgive us for our sins and our sinful nature, Father, and help those that are fitted for destruction and wrath, that they would turn from their evil ways, that they would repent, and that their sins would not be remembered anymore. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. And we thank you that you've revealed to your servants your commandments in these last days. Continue to touch our hearts and our minds and our bodies, and cause us, Father, to seek to do that which is right in your sight, that we would be vessels of mercy, Father, and that we would be used for your honor and glory. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For our closing song, turn with me to page number 30. We'll sing, Let Your Glory Fall.